Football Podcast. We hope you'll enjoy this message by Pastor Joey Bonifacio.
Morning. For those of you who have joined us for the second time, and if you're wondering if I'm wearing the same thing, the answer is yes and no. It is the same thing, but I have multiple pairs of the same thing, so this has been washed previously, just in case you're wondering. The course of this year, we began by having a short series, and this is the last part of that series. The idea behind this short series from the book of Isaiah was to give you a framework and a game plan to start your year with the end in view. That if you wanted your year to end a certain way, you wanted to start it a certain way. And the way you start that is by knowing exactly what it is that you want to see at the end of your year. I began by telling you in the beginning of the series that your year could yet be your best year ever. In fact, that's the mantra, if you may, that when you start the year, you're believing God that this is going to be the best year ever. And there's a rightful place for that because the Bible does say we go from glory to glory. We began by talking about light. And we said that the purpose of light is clarity. We looked at the verses in the book of Isaiah. We looked at Genesis where God says, let there be light, and started the entirety of creation by declaring the importance of light. We said that light is important because it exposes things. Things in our life that sometimes we become so religious in our practices that we think we're all right until we see the light of God shine upon our lives and we expose areas in all of our lives. We talked about the idea that life clarifies. It shows us the path by which we should go. It doesn't only clarify, it brings hope. When you have light, there is hope at the end of the tunnel, so to speak. And finally, light does attract. And that's how you want to start your year, where clarity, that you know exactly where you're going. It exposes things that you need to get rid of. It allows you to clarify the path that you're taking. It brings you hope. And finally, it helps you attract others into the light, so to speak. If you weren't here for the first message, it's on podcast. I urge you to listen to it. Last week, we talked about the second two-thirds of this message. It's that you're anointed. That Isaiah says that you're anointed because that means you're chosen. You're chosen by God. You're special. You're like, the Bible doesn't use the word sons, but adopted sons of God. In other words, you weren't just born naturally. God chose you because you are special. But at the same breath, God chose the foolish things of this world. It's that tension and that balance of living in humility, acknowledging that while I am special and chosen by God, I'm really not that special because apart from Him choosing me, I'm actually a fool. It says that we're not just chosen, we're separated. That's what anointed means. We're separated for the purposes of God. And today we're going to try and land this message. And our text this morning is back in Isaiah. This time Isaiah 58 verse 8. Then your light shall break forth like the dawn. This is the promise. The promise of God is your light will break forth like the dawn. I don't know if you understand what that means. You don't switch on the dawn. The dawn switches on automatically. In other words, if you live a certain way, light automatically happens to you. Now, if you come to a house, you need to switch on the lights. The dawn is not like that. God switches it on, and when it's on, it's on. It progresses through the day. This light happens to your life, and that's the promise. This is the promise of Scripture, that if we live a certain way, the light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will spring up speedily. Think about that. This entire year, you can actually take these verses and confess and believe that whatever diseases I encountered this year, my health will come speedily, quickly. It's the promise. Your righteousness shall go before you. Everything that is right about your life will go before you. More importantly, the Lord Himself will be your rear guard. Whatever it is that you're not seeing, whatever it is that sight unseen, whatever surprises that there might be in the course of your year, God Himself is your rear guard. A big part of our problem when we listen to a preacher like this is we come to church to punch in our religious time clock rather than listen to the Bible, the preaching of the Word of God. A big part of that is because we, as I've said to you last week, is because we're trying to make the natural supernatural rather than being supernatural and doing it naturally in our lives. Another way of saying that is we think We are physical beings with spiritual experiences. It's a big mistake. We are actually spiritual beings who experience physical things. Did you get that? Most of us think I'm a physical being. That's why my rationale, my attitude, my practices are predominantly physical first, and I'm looking for a spiritual experience attached to that. I don't wake up that way. I wake up believing I'm born again by the Spirit of God, and I'm a spiritual being walking in the physical realm. Man, some of you didn't get that. That's life-changing. Because when you live that way, those verses are not just literature. They're not just text. They're spiritual life. Because the Bible is not just a book. The Bible is actually spiritual words from a spiritual creator, a spiritual God, and hence only those who are of the Spirit will hear it in the Spirit. Amen? Thus, when you walk, there's power in it. Thus, when you walk, it's not a hope that my healing will be speedy. No, no, no. That's not a hope. That's the truth. No, the light will not break forth for me. It is a fact that the light of God will happen in my life because I am a spiritual being and God made me so. This year, I urge you to cross the line from just being a physical being, having spiritual experiences, but living as a spiritual being in the physical, manifesting the works of God. Now notice, further in Isaiah 58 verse 9, then you shall call and the Lord will answer. How many of you want that? It's almost like if you lifted your phone and dialed God, boom, and God picks up. You know how many times when your phone is ringing and then it ends up and somebody didn't pick up and you were wondering if they actually saw you call and didn't want to pick up? Anybody? But this verse actually says that when you walk in the light of God, you're going to call upon God and He will answer you. It's fascinating, isn't it? That's the promise. You shall cry and He will say, here I am. Joey, you have nothing to worry about. You may not have the instantaneous solution, but because I'm here, you know there's going to be a solution to whatever it is you're facing. Further, it says in verse 11, and the Lord will guide you continually. Think about that. This year, every step of your life will be guided by God, not just every month, but continually. From last year to next year to the following year to every phase of your life, in every facet, in every situation of your life, that's the promise of Scripture. Some of you are going to try to make that spiritual thing physical when the reality is already done for you. What you need to do is walk it out in the physical. Satisfy your desire in scorched place. Think about that. The worst situations you're going to find yourself in this year, the promise of God is He will satisfy your desires. Some of you are even having a hard time believing that. Your worst situation, your toxic boss, amen? The guy that you don't like, the thing that bothers you, despite all of that, the promise is that God will satisfy your desires this year. And then it says He will make your bones strong. How many of you want to have strong bones? You can squat, right? And you can lunge. Even when you're 80, you can still do that. It's possible. Not because you're exercising more. It's because you are a spiritual being that believes that whatever God has done in my life, I'm simply going to manifest in the physical world. Further, and you shall be like a watered garden. You're going to be like Singapore, amen? So a garden that you don't have frayed leaves, you don't have yellow things that are falling off, you don't have fruits that are small, you don't have fruits that are bitter, you don't have fruits that are rotten. You're actually bursting with fruitfulness like a well-watered garden. Like a spring of water whose waters don't fail. Everybody say, don't fail. Think about a year where everything you're doing does not fail. This is how you want your year to be. The question is, how do you do that? One is that you live by faith. But the other one is found really in the verse that preceded these verses. Isaiah chapter 58, verse 8, with the verse we read, then shall your light break forth like the dawn. There's that word then. for this to be triggered, there's a certain lifestyle. There's a certain way of living where I'm living in the light, that I'm anointed of God, I'm chosen and separated for His purposes. And if I live that way, then... Now, there's an added dimension that Isaiah talks about here. We find that in verses 6 and 7. He said, is not this the fast that I choose to loose the bonds of wickedness? In other words, we start the year by fasting because there's something that fasting does. It breaks certain things in our souls. It recalibrates our soul. It makes us rethink our pattern of life this year. It's kind of like when you feasted and ate everything you had to eat and drink everything you had to eat in December. Come January, you've kind of paused and said, I'm fasting to recalibrate and reboot. I'm fasting. And we're saying to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, whatever is burdening me, whatever is burdening other people, to let the oppressed go free, whether that's you or other people. The purpose of the fast, the purpose of why you do what you do, is to break every yoke. He's asking the question, is that the way you're living? Or is this just going to be another year of que sera, sera, I'm already a Christian, I go to church, I do the stuff, that the religious stuff, or am I ready to make a change here? Am I ready to make a shift? Am I ready to go to the next level, so to speak? Or am I just going to do the norm, the same year thing as I did last year? And then finally, in verse 7, it says, is not it to share your bread with the hungry? Is there, in the strategy of your year this year, is this part of it where you're literally thinking of who am I going to serve and share with that I'm not going to benefit from in any shape or form? Or is the only reason why you want to be prosperous and have the light is so that you can prosper and do the stuff you want? He says the way you get to then is there's got to be a strategy where there's a desire, an inkling to share my bread with the hungry, the bring the homeless poor, in other words, inconvenience myself for others. It's part and parcel of being a spiritual person. What makes you spiritual is not that you can float in the air, amen? What makes you spiritual is what makes you differentiated from the world is you don't behave like the world. You believe in a God and you live in a way that's different from the way the world lives. And part of that is the willingness to serve others and inconvenience myself for others. It's something spiritual. Then it goes on to say, when you see the naked, you cover him. When you see the guy that has nothing, are you so desensitized that you don't see them anymore? On my way to Vivo this morning, and this is practically every week when I drive up to Vivo, I see all these men who are cleaning the streets on a Sunday under the heat of the sun. I see all these guys trimming the fields in the parks that we all enjoy. And it's very often when I'm on that cab, I'm praying and interceding for these people. That we're all going to be in an air-conditioned room and hear the preaching of God's word, and these guys in their lifetime might never experience. This year, are you even aware of the alien? Or has it been such a life that you're now just seeing your needs and your wants and everything is about how do I fix my problems rather than seeing the naked and covering him? Or not hide from your own flesh. Chinese New Year is about to come and those relatives that are in need that you want to hide from, all of a sudden I had to go to the grocery as soon as you knew that they were coming to your house. Amen? You are anointed for a purpose. You've been chosen and separated for a purpose. And may I add to your list of strategy this year, one of those is serving others. And not just what's convenient, not just what's easy, that it be part of what you're going to do this year and how you're going to live this year. Notice where it says in Isaiah verse 10, if you pour yourself out for the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, if you do that, then shall your light rise in the darkness and your gloom as the noonday sun. You don't even have to make it happen. It's automatic. If you go out of your way and take care of others, if you satisfy the desires of those that cannot return a favor to you, If you do that, your light will rise from the darkness. Whatever darkness you're in, your light will rise above it. And the brightness of your gloom will be overshadowed by the noonday sun. Light exposes, clarifies, it brings hope, it attracts. Jesus himself in his words in Matthew 20:25 says, but Jesus called them, speaking of the disciples, and said, you know the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over. This is the physical world. The physical world, the natural world, is bosses boss us over. Amen? If you're a boss here, please don't do that because you're a Christian. Are you here? I'm talking to Daniel over there, who's a boss at some level, right? Of course, Rachel is also a boss, but probably a little, a few steps below heaven, amen? But the point is, the natural world lives a certain way. And we're called not to live that way. They're saying, here's the natural world, here's the way the world lives. That's not who you are, because they don't care. Who cares? Who cares about these people? Let's just use them. Let's just let them crack the grass. Let's just make us comfortable, make us secure. Let's make us enjoy what we want to enjoy. And he says, no, that's not how you live. He says, it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great, everybody say great. And that literally means great. If you want to be great in the eyes of God, not in the eyes of the world and celebrityism and then fulfilling things that the world has, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant. He goes on to say, and whoever would be first among you must be the slave. Who cares? We care. Because we're believers. And it has to be part and parcel of our strategy if we're going to have a great year this year. Thinking of illustrating this, I came across this picture of Emmer and Irish's son, Ethan. They're members of our Vivo congregation, and every weekend they'll take their five-year-old son to join our Serve Our City ministry and go and clean wheelchairs for people who are disabled. And I'm so happy to watch this father and mother know that if you're going to have a great year, part of your strategy is you're serving people who can't bless you back. I'm so happy that last year we've overshot the number of volunteers in SOC, and I'm believing that we're going to get even better this year. That as a church, we cannot just sit in the four walls of a church building and listen to the word of God. And at some point, this has to translate to something that happens out there. The every nation churches globally don't just fast. It's part of our mission statement. To honor God by establishing Christ-centered, Spirit-empowered, socially responsible churches and campus ministries in every nation. And our very own Daniel Ang, who's here with us. Daniel, as you know, is a director of one of the largest banks in this country, international bank, travels to India, Hong Kong, Japan, wherever, and yet Sunday, he's here. When we were fasting, the last day of our fast, there was Daniel. There was an ushering people. There's a servant's heart. There's a desire. And then there's his wife, Wendy, who's also with us here, who's a medical doctor. Now, you think about these two guys. They're busy. Amen? And this is at Fayway. They're volunteers. These are their three children. How many of you know if you have that career and three children, you don't have time? So where do these people find the time to do this? Where? They've chosen to make time. To say that I don't have time is only because your heart doesn't care to make time. By the way, I love all of you, amen? This is my job. Your boss will never tell you this. Okay? No, she won't. She won't. Okay, I will. I will for your good. I will so you're going to have your best year ever. Because until you change the way you live, the way you're walking, the way you're dealing with every year, it probably is going to be the same year again this year. Because you really haven't changed anything yet. And by the way, I'm not trying to make you guilty. That's not my job. That's the Holy Spirit. The word is conviction. Amen? I don't do that kind of stuff. I don't manipulate people. Simply because I hate to be manipulated. But I need to tell you the truth so that you may have a good year. Now, verse 28 said, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. If God himself behaved such a way, we care because he cares. We care because that's who our God is. That's what's unique about our God. He's not asking for idolatrous things that we're pouring out things to him. He just loves us. We care, and we should care, because that is the God we serve. In thinking about this message, I was reminded of one of the volunteers that used to be a member, or still a member of the church that I pastored in Manila. This incident happened more than 5, 6, 7 years ago. She was one of the girls that created the stage decor in our church. And one day she had a bump and she had it scanned and she was told that she had malignant cancer. And I remember sitting down with her and talking to her, and there was not a slight hint of fear. It was fascinating. She was actually ministering to me. I'm sitting there and I thought, Pastor, God's going to heal me, right? Because he promised it. It was funny because I said, okay, so I'm then thinking, you know how pastors are. They'll look like they're believing you, but at the same time, they're worried that God might not heal you. Amen? I'm just being honest. I'm sitting there watching this and said, and by the way, if he doesn't, then I go to get to heaven and see him. And there was just complete peace. And Anda was just sitting there in front of me, and finally she God actually heals her completely. It was ridiculous. And she's still out there. She's still in the church. She's still serving people. But there was that fearlessness. There was that calm. There was that reality of knowing God. You know why? Because it's not enough to know that I'm walking in the light. It's not enough to know that I'm anointed and separated. But there's an action that comes, because faith without action is dead. What you're holding onto are straws. And when the real tough times come, you're grappling for whether I'm living this life or not. Or are we just talking about it? I really love you now, amen? Now, on the lighter side of things, just to let you know, Manny Pacquiao won, amen? Those of you who didn't know, okay? I'm a big fan of Manny Pacquiao. For those of you who don't know, Manny's a champion boxer, and as you can see, it's a David and Goliath battle. He's got shorter legs, shorter arms, he's small, and this guy's big. But he won and cashed in at least $10 million in prize money, U.S. dollars, and probably an additional $3, $4 million. And here's another picture of Manny just giving this guy a life in the day of a boxer, amen? I love Manny. You should follow him on Instagram. On Sundays, he'll have a picture with his wife and children. We're all going to church. But you know why Manny's amazing? It's not because he has a helicopter, and he does. It's not because he's a multimillionaire, because every time he fights, he gets paid gazillions. He's amazing because he gives away a lot of money. He gives away homes and cars and tuitions and lifts the poor, and he visits people. He goes out of his way. He even uses beyond the car. He's a senator, and beyond the car, he uses his own personal money. And every time he does that, he proclaims it's Jesus. And people get saved. His own mother, who's anti-Jesus, is now a Christian. Everybody around him wants to be a Christian just because of the way he lives. It's not just faith to kneel down on the side of a ring, but it's a faith that behaves that way. We care because he cares, and because we care and he cares, they care. And what happens is it spreads the light of Jesus. It gets this thing across. It's the church has become so centered about the blessing and the healing, and it's forgotten why you're blessed and healed. And by the way, if you want that anyway, just start here. Because the rest of that is a then. It just follows. It's just an offshoot. It's just the result. This picture is two of our members in Vivo reaching out to this gentleman. His name is Esteban. And they always served in this place, and they were all volunteers, and Esteban's not a Christian, and he just came with them for fellowship, and they just liked them because there was so much light that they kept serving and serving in this nonprofit until such a time that they said, wait, why are you guys like this? They shared the gospel to Esteban. Esteban got saved. Light started to shine, and Esteban started sharing the gospel to his friends and to his workmates. And all of them got saved to the point that everybody got baptized. Amen? We're sitting in church playing games when really we've got the light of God. Esteban was there this morning, just a volunteer with his friends running the services. By the way, our first service in Vivo is just about packed. Our second service is, there's no more room in the inn, amen? We're going to have to plant another service. When light comes, the world changes. We are the light of the world. There's no point in being light if you are put under a bowl. The point of light is to be put on a stand for others to see. Let me close. This is our Serve Our City volunteer team that packs the goods for our marginalized people that we serve. This is Alicia, who is right now volunteering for Kids Church. And this is Liam, whom she invited to participate. She's a member of our church and invited Liam, who happens to be British. She's American. And they volunteered to pack. And this is Tony right there and his wife, Shirley, who started to minister to them. Light, light, light. And because of the light, they got baptized. Amen? Got saved and baptized and now volunteering for a church. And now they're engaged to be married. Amen? Now, please don't volunteer because you were looking for a husband or a wife. Amen? Do it for the right reasons. I'm just saying that's the way light works. If you do it God's way, you get God's results. And there is the promise. Then your light will break forth like the dawn. Automatic. You don't even have to make it happen. Your healing will spring. You're not going to have to struggle with it. It'll spring. It'll be like natural. Will spring up, not just spring up, it will spring up quickly. God will give you ideas. God will give you people. God will give you diets. God will give you nutritional plans. God will give you ideas. God will give you exercise. God will give you whatever it takes and it needs, whether that's a doctor, whether that's natural healing, whether that's just a miraculous healing, is irrelevant to God. It'll just spring up speedily. Your righteousness, everything that's right about you will go before you. God will be your rear guard. Then you shall call on the name of the Lord and he will answer. And he will say, here I am. The Lord will guide you continually. Satisfy your desire in scorched places. Make your bones strong. This is the promise. When you leave here today, read these verses at home. Read it the whole week and you shall be like a watered garden. This is the promise. Like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Who cares? We care. Why? Because he cares. And when we care and he cares, they care. The question for you and me today is, do you care? And that's for you to answer. That's not for me to answer. That's between you and God. Or have we been so desensitized that all we're thinking of is how do we get blessed? You see, God is a good boss. He understands incentives, amen? He gives you an incentive if you do things a certain way. It's kind of like a good supervisor. He gives you reasons why you want to do what you want to do. Amen? Would you stand on your feet as we close in a word of prayer? And I'm going to ask Pastor Mark to instruct us in a bit. This today is Serve Our City Sunday. By the way, look up here for a minute. Do you know why we took the last 3 weeks and gave you a framework? We're about to click back to Genesis and study the Bible, what God has to say through his word. But every year, we start the year with consecration and we're saying, God, we're living for you. Secondly, we want clarity. Lord, what's the game plan for the year? And we're taking the last 3 weeks to let you know that, so that you have a frame of reference. So you start the year right, you're going to end the year right. You start the year wrong, you end up with the wrong year. In a bit, Pastor Mark will come up. We've got a booth across, and you don't have to volunteer now. Just pray. Just ask the Holy Spirit. If you want to do it on your own, do it on your own. These are ways of triggering you, of helping you get started. Sometimes it takes fellowship. It takes people around you, like Esteban, to walk you through, because sometimes when you just do it alone, it's just not as easy. Amen? Let's just pray. Father, thank you for this morning. We decree, we declare, 2019 will be our best year ever. Whether that's in our personal lives, our family lives, our marriage, our children. Father, as a church, we believe, God, in the name of Jesus. We decree into the heavens by faith. We align ourselves with your word that you will cause all things to work together for our good, even as we respond to serve you and to serve others. Seal this truth in each of our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to the Every Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you've been blessed by today's message. For more information, visit everynation.org.sg.